If you would remain standing for our scripture and then our praise hymn this morning. Our scripture comes this morning from the second chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They're full of new wine." Father, we come to You today and we lift up our voices and we praise You and we thank You. And Lord, may all that we do here this day bring honor and glory to You. May all that is spoken be Yours, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you have ever been a new employee at a place where people have been there for a while and they all know each other? And have you ever been filled up with a story that you just seem totally implausible and impossible? And it's one of them things that they kind of play tricks on you, you know, when you go to a new place. If you've ever been sent after the skyhooks or anything like that at a place. Well, several years ago, about 20 years ago now, while I was working for the Department of Corrections, I transferred to a different prison facility. And so I was the new guy there, and was working the night shift, and I come up to these two guys one night, they're talking. One of them was the supervisor that was on duty, and another guy, and I walk up and they start talking about this thing called ramps. Now, I know you all know what ramps are, but I'm from down the flat country, and I had never heard of a ramp. At all. Everybody know what a ramp is? Yeah, okay. Well, I'd never heard of that. And they're talking about ramps and going and getting ramps on the creek bank and stuff like that. And talking about some place that, and so one of these guys is from the mountains up here in Avery County. And they're talking this, and I'm sitting there listening, and I'm thinking, okay, y'all want me to bite on this, but, you know, I'm too smart for that. Talking about a ramp festival that they have up here. And I said, "You guys, would y'all just shut up?" I said, "I may be born in the dark, but I wasn't born last night. Y'all, you're not getting me to bite on that." No. This is a real thing, real. I just couldn't hardly believe it. I wouldn't believe it until a few days later at work, this guy brought some kind of clipping from a newspaper where it actually was talking about a ramp festival. Well, you know, When Pentecost happened, it must have been something like that for the people that were there, as these miraculous, unbelievable things were going on, and these things that they were hearing, it must have been totally unimaginable. They must have been thinking that somebody was playing a trick on them, that this kind of stuff just really didn't happen. But it did, as we know from the Scriptures here. What I want to do this morning is, first of all, is look at Pentecost. Today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost is the 50th day after the Sabbath immediately following Pentecost, or following Passover. Pentecost is the 50th day immediately following, started counting from the Sabbath after the Passover. Pentecost in Greek is the Greek word for 50. So that makes sense, doesn't it? Pentecost is one of the three Jewish festivals that are held each year that are called pilgrimage festivals, that during these three festivals, Jewish men were to make a pilgrimage during one of these festivals to Jerusalem, to the temple, to offer sacrifices and worship there. They were pretty lenient about that, and they didn't enforce the every year kind of thing. But it was every good Jew throughout the world should at least go to Jerusalem during one of these feasts during their lifetime and offer sacrifices and worship there. So Pentecost was one of those three. The other one of the three major festivals, of course, is Passover, and the other one is the Feast of Tabernacles, or Feast of Booths, you may have heard it said about, talked about. Pentecost was also called the Feast of Weeks, because it was those seven weeks immediately following the Passover. Okay, this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at how God's people respond to this event called Pentecost. Now, one other thing about Pentecost is that most time if you read anything about Pentecost or anything, the theological implications and aspects of it, the writers will talk about how at Pentecost the barrier that God had placed between human beings in Genesis, in the story of the Tower at Babel, how God had confused the languages of all the people, that this is a reversal of that barrier being broken. Pentecost was a breaking of that final barrier that separated people. Now, the first barrier that was broken happened on Easter, or happened on Good Friday, as Jesus breathed His last on the cross and said, "It is finished." Do you remember what happened? There were several things happened. One of them was that the temple veil was rent from top to bottom. That temple veil was in the place called the Holy of Holies. It separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. The Holy of Holies was the place where the Ark of the Covenant resided. The Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the lid of that Ark, was the place where God's Spirit was supposed, was said, was believed to reside. So when the veil of the temple was rent, the separation between God and mankind that had occurred in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, rebelled against God, chose to do their own thing, and God cast them out, that separation between man and God, that barrier was torn down. Now here, on Pentecost, the final barrier, the barrier that God had put in place at Babel between mankind, between one man and another, between human being and human being, God was now tearing that barrier down. And this morning I want to look at how God's people on that day, and kind of apply it to today, how God's people respond to the breaking of this barrier and the coming of the Holy Spirit. First thing that we see there, John, I'm going to go to verse 5 if you want to put it up. I'm going to go to verse 5 and on through. In verse 5, before we see their response, we see the situation somewhat that I want to point out. It says in verse 5, "And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven." You see, folks, what we need to realize here, and as we read through this passage, you see that these devout men, these devout people, didn't all of them get it. Nobody was in this group, from what the Scripture reads, that was there to disbelieve what was going on. They were all devout men. They came there searching, seeking. But folks, not all of them got it. And so one of the things that we need to realize in this world is not everybody gets everything at the same time or ever in life. Not everybody understands the same way. Not everybody understands at the same time on the same schedule. It was that way on the day of Pentecost, as the Holy Spirit fell down in the manifestation and manifests itself in tongues of fire and mighty sounds of wind. People still didn't get it. One would and one didn't. And it's not any different today. Now, the response, the way these people response was, we find in verse 6, we find that they responded by being confused. "And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in their own language. They were confused. Folks, different confuses people. We can come in here on Sunday morning and you can have the bulletin in front of you and I can skip something or do something too early and I can look out there and immediately I know I've done it when I do it because I see confusion on your faces. What's he doing? Is he just gone off on a wild tangent today? Did he forget it? Some of you look a little embarrassed when you do it because, oh gosh, he's forgot that and I'm embarrassed for him. Don't be embarrassed for me. I'm big enough an idiot that doesn't bother me. But change, different, confuses people. This was something different. They'd never seen such as that before. And it's different. Pam, Emily, first time to annual conference this year. Was it a little confusing? Yeah. It's different. I wasn't confused hardly at all. I mean, there's always some things that confuse you. But I've been there for 16 plus years. I knew what was going to happen. I understood what was going to happen. It wasn't near as confusing. If you go back next year, you'll be an old pro at it. It won't even bother you. It'll just breeze right through it. Different confuses us, folks. Different just... It's just by the nature of it, we're going to be confused. These people on that day responded with confusion because this was something they'd never seen, never imagined, never heard of. The next thing that they responded, the next way they responded, we find in verse 7. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans?" They were amazed and they marveled. They were wide-eyed at what was happening. It was just shock. One translation I read, I think it was in the Message as I read this passage of Scripture, the Message, Peterson translated it or interpreted it as thunderstruck. And if someone's thunderstruck, they're just at a loss for words. They're just, amazed. They're marveling. They can't say anything about it. They're just there. And they ask, how can this happen? And why are they so thunderstruck? It's because these uneducated, unimportant, unsophisticated, low on the totem pole as far as the political and economic and religious order stood in that day and time. These people were speaking in their own language. Their mouth dropped open and they couldn't respond to it. They were amazed and they marveled. Folks, today, when the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives and in the life of the church and in this world in which we live, there's sometimes that I'm just amazed and I'm thunderstruck at how God is doing things. How He is working in unseen and unnoticed ways. How He is touching people's lives. And folks, we just can't put a label on people. We can't go into life, into our faith, with preconceived notions about how God is going to work and how God is going to act. We think that if we don't do it this way, if we don't come in and have this, 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 and this, that God can't act. Yet there's another group of people thinking if we're not singing anything but contemporary music and holding our hands up and running down the aisles, that we're not worshiping. We come to it with preconceived notions, whichever spectrum we're on. And the truth of it is that God can act, He can work in ways that you and I can never even imagine, and all we can do is just stand there amazed with our mouth open. You know what's happening in the Methodist church around the world? I learned that this week. You probably heard it. You guys heard it. And y'all can amen me if you remember it. In the United Methodist Church, we had this is election year in our conference because next year is general conference, and it's also jurisdictional conference. At the general conference, that's when all the conferences of the Methodist Church throughout the world come together and they set the rules and regulations and the bylaws and all the order of the church. That this is what the Methodist Church supports. This is the ministries that they will do. This is the beliefs that we lift up and hold as truth. That's what happens there at jurisdictional conference. The bishops are elected. That's basically what happens at jurisdictional conference. Bishops are elected. So it's important stuff. We're electing delegates. 4 years ago, we had to elect 13 delegates for each of those. This year, we only elected 11 for each of those. And the reason is that the Methodist Church is shrinking in the United States, folks. It's getting less and less every day. The numbers are dwindling, not just on a little slight decline, but on a very steady decline. And you see the Methodist Church in Africa and Asia is growing by leaps and bounds. So 4 years ago, the International Church, the Central Conference that it's called, had 30% of the delegates that were allotted to conference. And it's by the membership. It's kind of like districts for congressmen. You know, you get Congress, each state gets a certain number of congressmen by population. Well, it's the same kind of principle. Each conference gets delegates by the number of members it has in its conference. Well, we've lost, and every other conference in the United States basically lost delegates. But the church in Africa and Asia has gained delegates, and they are now 38% of the United Methodist Church. In 4 years, they have increased by 8% of the total number of United Methodists. Folks, it ain't just right here in America, in white America, that the Holy Spirit works and moves and that Jesus Christ is saving people and transforming lives. It's happening in places and in situations where all I can do is just say, wow, I'm just dumbstruck. Thunderstruck. We cannot confine God and the Holy Spirit and our preconceived notions. They are just worthless. Come to God. Come with the Holy Spirit, letting it tear down one more barrier, our preconceived notions, and allowing us to worship. Then verse 8, we see the next one. Verse 8 says, "And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born?" How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Then it goes on to list in those next three or four verses, all the different peoples and nationalities that were represented there. See, what's happening there is, in this part right here, how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we are born? What's happening here is the people there that day and time, and us here today, in the church today, we're caught up in the how can this be. We see it happening. We see what God is doing. But we look at it and we just say, how can this be? How can this be? And we just stand around and talk, how can this be? How can this be? How can we change it? How can this be? And the truth of it is, instead of being caught up in the how can this be, we need to be ministering from the standpoint of what do we have. And what can we offer? We need to move from the how can this be and saying what's going to happen to the church, how can this be, to taking what God has given us and blessed us with and graced us with and given us in gifts and talents and resources and say, how can we minister with what we have? The church that day was no different from us. We're no different from that church in that day of time. We stand around amazed, marveling, dumbstruck, saying, how can this be? When we should be saying, what can we do with what we have? Next, in verse 12, we see them amazed and perplexed. Once again, they're amazed. They're just eyes wide open. They're looking around. But you see, now there's a certain group within this bunch that has experienced the presence, the arrival of the Holy Spirit, that's starting to get it a little bit. Because you see, the first thing that we do as Christians is start to ask questions after we realize God's power and presence and influence in our lives. Because, believe it or not, folks, we don't have all the answers once we're saved. Believe it or not, folks, we don't have all the answers once the Holy Spirit has filled us. What we do have is the questions, and we have the ability to seek, and we have the courage to seek, and ask and seek God in what He wants us to do, how He wants us to serve. You see, they say, in verse 12 once again, they were amazed and perplexed, saying, whatever could this mean? Perplexed means pondering. That something they don't understand, but they're considering it and they're thinking about it and it's working through their mind and their brain and through their heart. That they are listening and that there is something happening. And folks, when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and in our presence, it changes us. It moves us. It works through us. And it transforms our lives and our hearts into who He wants us to be. They're trying to figure it out. They're starting to ask questions. They're pondering and they're seeking. Folks, let's be a seeking, a pondering, a searching, a question-asking church here today. Let's don't go away from here wondering what God could do and who He might be. Let's go away from here asking Him, imploring Him, searching Him and who He is. And what He has for us to do. Finally, verse 13, the final group that was there, they just said, they're full of it. You like my title there? I thought it was really creative. The last verse says, and others mocking said, they are full of new wine. Folks, when you have yielded to Christ, and you have invited Him into your life, and the Holy Spirit is at work in you, there's going to be places and times, more than probably we want to think about, that people are just going to look at you and say, and don't understand, and just say, man, they've just got to be full of it. That's ridiculous. They don't know what they're talking about. You're going to be looked down upon at times. You're going to be made fun of at times. You're going to be laughed at at times. You're going to be called a fanatic, whatever. But folks, when they're laughing, when they're mocking, know that you're in good company. That the Holy Spirit that has given you the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of seeking and serving, is going to be with you throughout it. The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost Day. It came to a group of men and women. It came to them and they didn't get it right away. I don't know if a single one of them got it just like that. What did we say? They were confused. They were amazed and marveled. They were caught up in the how can this happen? How can this be? Rather than how do we use what we've got? They were amazed and perplexed. And some were simply going to say they're just full of it. This morning, as we come here in this place and celebrate the presence of the Holy Spirit, the arrival of the Holy Spirit in this church, may you go out from here amazed and perplexed and seeking and looking and asking questions of your Father. May the Holy Spirit come once again in each of our hearts and minds and fill us and allow us to overflow into this community, into the places we work, the schools that we attend, the homes that we abide in, and the world in which we live. May the Holy Spirit change and transform you this day. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the precious gift of Your Son and that you gave us in follow-up and completion the gift of the Holy Spirit that wherever we are and whenever we're there, You're there. And Lord, I thank You for this place and the welcoming of the Spirit that's here. And Lord, may we go from here this day as Your people, forgiven and sealed by the sacrifice of Your blood and anointed and renewed by the presence of the Holy Spirit. May Christ reign in all our hearts, in our lives every day. Amen.